There's clearly a demand for renters. They've got most of them full, so they're essentially handing off this project to somebody who could then could manage on
it. What's interesting about the baby boomers is that they've never met a debt they didn't like. And so what we've seen are record numbers of baby boomers entering retirement with brand new mortgage debt.
When interest rates go up, if you own a bond in your retirement portfolio in any way, shape, or form, the price of that is going to go down. So if you're getting close to retirement, it's not going to protect you.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And here we are. Welcome to Thursday afternoon. Steve Bertrand in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're going to jump right in, a little behind today. Ian Scher is on a phone line, a senior editor from CNET. Ian, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm well, thanks. You know, I was driving in today, and I have this bad habit of... Okay, let me tell the story a different way, because I'm not a texter when I'm driving. I do not, but it's going to sound terrible. I do look at my phone. You know, when I'm sitting in traffic, I will look down to see if I have any notifications or things. I don't ever respond, but I guess I do look sometimes. But it occurred to me that I was just doing it. It's just a twitch. And then I see you wrote this piece about sort of, I think it's about parents of young kids and how parents are the ones ignoring their kids because they're always looking at the phone.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to look at, you know, I hear all the time about children and screen time. And what I wanted to think about was a conversation my wife and I often have about our two-year-old, which is what about when we're using our phones in front of them, our
right,
screen time.
Right.
And what it turned into, because, you know, we have quite a few disagreements about how often I should be on my phone when I'm around him, and I'm in a high communication, high stress job, so I'm encouraged to be on my phone a lot. And what I learned was that there's a lot of research out there that shows that it actually has a pretty profound effect on him when I'm using my phone when he wants my attention. And there's a lot of research that. Well, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you mean aside from just modeling behavior for him in the future, you're
right,
sort of depriving him in the moment.
Yes, and they've done research where they found that it encourages kids to become, you know, they feel unimportant, they feel sad or mad or angry, they'll act out. They did one piece of research where they actually studied a bunch of families at a fast food restaurant. So while they're eating, and the parents have their phone out while the kids are eating, and they're more likely to become rambunctious and cause trouble, even when they're supposedly doing another activity, if they notice that their parent is on the phone.
That's fascinating.
So it's a really tough issue. Yeah.
I love that. And I know it's up at CNET.com now, the piece you wrote. And it's also going to be in the printed magazine this fall, correct?
Yeah, so it's already out on stands. We have a quarterly magazine from CNET, and you can get it at pretty much everywhere you can find a magazine. This is one of those stories that we have.
It's okay if you read a magazine in front of your kids. So let's make that clear. Just don't read the article on your phone. Or if you watch Netflix. I'm going on a trip tomorrow. I'm leading some WGN listeners to England for 10 days or so. So I was downloading shows that I want to watch on my phone from Netflix. I watch Netflix a lot, probably more than any other, nearly any other channel or any other outlet. And now I see the story that from Sandvine, 15% of all bandwidth is taken up by Netflix use?
Yeah, it's incredible. Like, if you think about how much of what happens on the internet, it's incredible that Netflix basically represents, you know, almost a fifth of the world's internet use. That's incredible.
That is amazing.
And a lot of it is... Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. And for video streamers, right, so if we just separate it out and we start looking at, you know, Amazon versus YouTube versus Netflix, Netflix is the biggest. They represent more than a quarter of video, and then globally, right, not just in the United States. It's absolutely amazing how large it is.
Well, what I love is the fact that Netflix was dead about four or five or six or seven times. You know, you got the CDs and DVDs in the mail. And people were writing their obituary, and they're going to face another challenge. Right? Disney's coming at them, but they have shown incredible resiliency, and they're just thriving right now.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And part of it has been that they really saw the streaming stuff way ahead of everyone else, right? They were testing this stuff They started doing it in 2007, way before anyone was even, you know, cord cutting was considered to be just a weird thing that some poor millennials were doing. Now it's completely normal. And it's just incredible to see how much the world has changed in the 10 years since people thought, oh, this is a dumb idea.
Hey, one more. We've got just 30 seconds or so, but I know you were on Capitol Hill last month for all of the big tech companies or the social media companies testifying before Senate committees and House committees. Save Google. And now the White House says it's going to have a session and the Google CEO is going to be there. What's all this about?
Yeah, it's really interesting. We don't know what it's going to be about, but we know that Donald Trump, the president, and has invited Sundar Pichai, the CEO of Google, and a few other tech execs, we don't know who yet, to the White House to discuss things. And look, President Trump has not made it at all unclear how he feels. He is not happy with the tech industry. He's worried that they are censoring conservative voices. He's made this a campaign issue for the midterms. And so it's likely that this is going to become quite an interesting meeting when it happens.
Ian Schur is the senior editor at CNET. Check it out, CNET.com. Great talk. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Put the phone down. Put it down. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. It's 12:22. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. Here we are on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. Bill Geiger is in the studio this afternoon. Our regular conversations with Bill are sponsored by Geiger Wealth Management. Welcome back to the Allstate Skyline Studio.
Good afternoon, sir.
So we were talking yesterday about interest rates on treasuries, right? And they've been soaring lately.
Soaring higher.
But that has to do with the Fed raising interest rates?
Well, it's partly the Fed raising interest rates, but it's partly the strength of the economy. And the economy is going gangbusters.
Right.
We're at a 49-year low in unemployment claims. Unheard of. The economy is very, very strong, and that's pushing up interest rates.
And so what does that mean for people as they're looking to get to maybe begin their retirement?
Well, you know, we focus on folks in their late 50s, early 60s. This is just ideal for our clients. Steve, we talk about this all the time. The really big deal during retirement is having a lot of income you can count on.
Right.
And with these rates right now, we are able to lock in some really, really high lifetime income for our clients. Let's be real conservative. Let's say plus 6.5% for life.
Yeah. Wow.
For life.
And so they're set for that. And it's not going to go away.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. We sat down with a 60-year-old couple. They plan on retiring in 7 years, 67 years old. They had a larger portfolio. They put $1 million into an income strategy that we've got. They're looking at receiving somewhere around $95,000 a year when they retire for life.
Wow.
For life. You know, you add Social Security to that, you've got a six-figure income that you can count on.
And that is because the economy's cooking so much.
And because interest rates are going up.
Right.
And because interest rates have gone up, we're able to get higher and higher rates for our clients for the lifetime income.
Interest rates are going to keep going up, aren't they? I mean, we expect
that's what we expect.
Right. And so what are you telling people who aren't invested in that now and maybe are trying to decide whether or not to build a strategy for retirement?
Well, what we're telling people is, look, balance things out a little bit. Because everybody,
it's not going to end. It's never going to end, Bill.
Everybody is all in the market. It's never going to go in.
Right.
It's never going to end. And what we're able to do is convince people to take some of that money off the table and create the income they're going to need. They can keep growing on the rest of their portfolio, and we're happy with that.
I was going to ask you what percentage, but I guess that all depends on where people are.
Depends upon their age.
Right.
You know, the old rule of thumb was you took your age and you put that in bonds. And bonds are a little tough these days, but those similar sort of ratios work toward an income strategy.
Right. And so if you are not involved right now or you're not sort of setting your plans and you're 55, 60 years old, I would imagine this is the time that people should really start looking at it.
This is the time to do it, yeah. If you're in your late 50s, early 60s, it's like football. You're in the red zone. You know the red zone, the last 20 yards?
Yeah,
yeah. You're close to the goal. You don't want to drop the ball. And you, it, late 50s, early 60s, it's time to really start getting serious.
You know, you're not a psychologist, but I could use one. And
no comment.
But, you know, we have this conversation, and we've done it on the air a couple times, but I always end up returning to it off the air. You and I were just talking about retirement, and,
yeah.
You know, I'm not there yet. But what I'm coming to terms or starting to finally realize is it's not that I want to retire. That I want to know I can retire.
You want to be able to.
I want to know that, yeah, if I'm ready to, I can do it.
And, right.
Which I would imagine is something you run into quite a bit.
It is. And one of the nice things about getting a plan together for retirement, and especially getting the income together that you're going to need, it changes the nature of your work.
Yeah.
If you know that you could say to your boss tomorrow, hey, I don't think I'm coming back.
not ready to do that.
Not ready to do that. But think about how much you'd enjoy your work going forward if you knew retirement was kind of locked in for you.
I love my job.
Yeah, I do too.
I love my job. I don't love having to do it, which is
exactly
kind of what we're talking about.
Exactly. So if you don't have to do it, then
it's more fun.
Then it's absolutely more fun. Steve, along these lines, I know you're going to talk about this in a second, but we've got an opportunity for people listening together today. We're going to help them put together a retirement roadmap, okay? And they've got to have $500,000 in their portfolio. It's complimentary basis on the first five, but we'll sit down with them personally and help them put together a roadmap for the retirement. Absolutely.
Bill Geiger, nice to see you again.
Nice to see you, sir.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Are you confident that you're doing everything you can, everything you should be doing to prepare for retirement? Well, Bill and his team at Geiger Wealth can help you answer those questions. They've got a special opportunity for you. They're going to sit down with you personally to create a full-blown plan for your retirement. It's up to a $3,000 value, and it's complimentary for the next five callers who have at least $500,000 saved for retirement. Call 800-681-2498. That's 800-681-2498. At this stage of your life, you probably have more money than you've ever had before. And together with you, Bill and his team are going to translate the complex financial planning process into easy-to-understand steps with a personalized retirement roadmap. It's designed to help you retire with confidence. Call Geiger Wealth right now for your complimentary personalized retirement roadmap. It's 800-681-2498. That's 800-681-2498. Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, here on 720 WGN. All right, we're going to try to touch base maybe with Eric Rung as we continue to watch the Laquan McDonald, Jason Van Dyke trial. Kim, can you tell me, I was led to believe that jury instructions were going to last for quite some time, but it seems as if they have been dispensed with pretty quickly. We're not hearing Kim. Kim, can, I don't know if you
can. Oh, I can hear you. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to somebody else.
No, I'm sorry. It looks as if the jury instructions went more quickly than we were expecting.
Yes, and it actually, the jury got the case at 12:28. So deliberations have begun.
And we don't know anything about whether they are going to be sequestered or not sequestered, or do we know that?
I have not heard that at this point, whether they were sequestered or not, but I know that they have... some police protection.
Sure. Okay.
But so, other than that, I don't know.
The prosecutors and then defense attorneys gave their closing arguments. The defense went, it seemed to me, a good deal longer than did the prosecutors. And so then the jury heard the instructions and they're off. And one of the things that people have talked about quite a bit, I know it came up on the Mincing Rascals a lot, was how sort of a difficult sell a first-degree murder might be. And so we learned today that the jurors were instructed that they could convict on a lesser charge. Is that correct?
Yes, possibly second-degree murder. Instead, right. they have the option of, you know, weighing both.
Second-degree murder.
Second-degree murder, yes.
Certainly easier to prove or to convict on than would be first-degree. All right, I know Kim's busy in the newsroom, and she'll continue to follow that, and we will have live updates as soon as we know more. By the way, I let you know that on the day that there is a verdict in the Jason Van Dyke trial, if it's a weekday, I'm assuming we will have a special program from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock on that evening, hosted by Justin Kaufman and produced by others, to sort of run down where we are, the verdict, and we'll hear from all sides on it. So the city, the state, really all of us wait now for this jury to reach its verdict in the case of Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke in the shooting death of Laquan McDonald. I love the days that we're living in. We just got I got a text from a buddy of mine, Gary Mills. Gary's been on the program quite a few times. He is one of the guys behind the Pinnacle Principal Company. They travel the world and help train other people deal with media. Well, Gary just sent me a couple pictures of him giving a TEDx talk in China. He was talking to students at the American School, talking about communication. The subject is, are we killing communication? I hope not, but there's my buddy Gary Mills in China today, and we'll have to have him on coming up not too long from now to talk about that. Okay, so we're standing by. I think we're hoping to talk to Louis Lazar. Do we have any word, Cash, from Louis? Not quite yet. I don't know. No word from Louis, right? Okay, so... Absolutely. So, okay, we're going to have to punt here a little bit as we've had some schedule changes, things like that. One of the things that Louis was going to talk to him about anyway was Sears is giving retail another shot. I think their stock this week went to below a dollar for the first time, but they are opening up a reconfigured store in Oak Brook. It's much smaller than the three-story store they used to have there, and they say the items at the store will be specifically selected for the people who live around Oak Brook. Furniture, shoes, things like that, and they are still hoping to make that work. So we'll see. It's a 62,000 square foot store there instead of the 250,000 square foot store that they'd had earlier. And not too far from there, if you go up the tri-state and then a little bit west in Vernon Hills, Barnes & Noble opened up a reconfigured retail shop as well. They're trying to still appeal to people. I guess the people who work in that Barnes & Noble store will be walking around with iPads so that they can order books for people if they're not in the store. There are a couple new book theaters, I think they're calling them, where I suppose it will be like this one room taken over by a single book or single author, a way to promote things in that way. So Barnes & Noble, another industry that is hoping to make a go of it. I actually have history with Barnes & Noble, a nice one. Back in the early days of podcasting, I contracted with Barnes & Noble to do a lot of their early podcasts. It was before you subscribe to podcasts on iTunes. Although I guess I was there, but I would talk to authors for Barnes & Noble, and that was sort of the heyday, or maybe the zenith. They had to cut a lot of that programming as the days passed and electronic books and things like that came up. So Barnes & Noble trying something new in Vernon Hills, and Sears trying a new version of something old, I guess, in Oak Brook. Oh, one other story that Lewis wrote about recently, which is interesting. I don't know if you were running in the marathon. I think last year there were more than 45,000 people who ran, and 23% of the field were from other countries, a 40% increase year over year. And the reason that's important is because if you are coming from another country to run in the Chicago Marathon, you're probably staying in Chicago, and your stay in Chicago is going to be longer than if you're coming in from, say, DeKalb or Schaumburg. And that translates into cash. In fact, the Bank of America Marathon last year brought in more than $300 million to the city when economic impact is considered, $338 million in all, a $56 million increase from 2016. So they're hoping for even bigger things coming up this Sunday. And if you're running, good luck with that. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson, Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. All right, I want you to write down a website because we're going to refer to it not too long from now. RobertiCommunityHouse.org, or R-O-B-E-R-T-I, RobertiCommunityHouse.org. It is a website that Clay Erickson knows well. He joins us on a phone line now. Clay, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Well, thank you, Steve. I'm glad to be here with you.
I'm glad you're here, too. I don't know if you're on a speakerphone, but if you can get on a regular handset, that would be helpful to me. It's a little easier to hear. Okay, so Clay is joining us from the Roberti Community House, and it's a charity I know well. I've known Mary Beth Roberti for a long time. She's been on the show. My wife Sharon volunteers there, and they do some really cool things in Waukegan. It is a 501(c) charity, and they are, well, they're in the community. They help women with whether it's cooking classes or English language skills, and then it's an after-school program for kids who live in Waukegan as well. And so they've been doing that for a number of years, back to 2011, and then just last January, they started with this Roberti Culinary Pathway. Clay Erickson is a chef and instructor there. Clay, tell me about what it is you do at the Roberti Culinary Pathway.
So what I basically do is I teach students about 2 years' worth of culinary schools, and I break it down into a 9-week program. So it's pretty intense. There's a lot to learn in the program itself. I'm teaching knife skills, how to make sauces, soups, stocks. And we have different cuisines. I teach them, you know, a little bit of German cooking, a little Italian, some Hispanic, which most of them already know because of the community that we're in.
Uh-huh.
Right. And I'm learning, too. So it's kind of a really neat experience that I get to learn from the students as well.
Well, I know you've got a fundraiser coming up, so we'll talk about that in a bit. But you're on the show because it's a jobs program, and it's a jobs program that fits a need, right? I've heard from several restaurants, and they are looking for workers. I know Rick Bayless has a program similar to this in the city. I've heard more and more of these where you take young people who need help in starting their career, give them restaurant skills, and really, you know, the sky can be the limit. If not, certainly there's a chance for steady income, right? So if you started in January, I would imagine your first term must have just ended recently, or tell me about that.
So, yeah, you know, like you said, our focus is on the underserved and underemployed, you know, areas in Lake County and those struggling with poverty and unemployment. So I've had 19 students graduate since January 8th, and of the 19 students, 18 of them are gainfully employed right
wow.
now and paying taxes. So it's really neat. They're working at places, restaurants. They're working at places like the Shanty and Heinen's Grocery Store and AbbVie and Lake Forest Place and Great Wolf Lodge and Quonset Pizza. I mean,
That's great.
They're working all over.
And the restaurants have got to love it too, right?
Oh, they are, because once when they graduate from here, not only do they have their knife skills and prepping skills, and they also learn about food safety and sanitation. And each student that graduates from here leaves with a food handler certificate.
And it's not just teaching people to work in the restaurant industry. You're then the food that you guys make, right, in your classes, that ends up going to the community as well.
Exactly. Since January 8th of this year, hold on, Steve, are you ready?
I'm ready.
6,900 meals
wow.
have been served to the community.
And that's food that wouldn't have been served in that neighborhood had you not been making it and teaching these young people knife skills and culinary skills.
That's correct. And what's really neat about it is the students get it. They understand about giving back to the community because, you know, the school is free for students that want to attend here. So they understand the importance of it, of giving back. And, you know, we've given back to a lot of different organizations throughout the community, a lot of churches, Catholic charities, Love, Inc., House of Peace, Cristo Rey, the Statement House.
And the beauty of it, too, Clay, is that so you're preparing food for people who might not have it otherwise, and you're preparing food that might have been tossed otherwise, right? I brought up the Roberti House, I think it was last week, because you actually rescue food that is destined to be thrown away.
That is correct. So once a week, a volunteer, and by the way, volunteers are greatly appreciated here. They do a great job here, and they go down and they rescue food from Chicago and other places, and they bring it here, and I have the students make stuff out of whatever food they bring back.
Well, now, they're not dumpster diving, right, Clay? Where are they getting this rescued food?
There's a couple of food recoveries in Chicago. My mind went blank,
okay,
and I can't think of the name.
I think my mind is blank, too, because I think we've had them on, actually. They will go around and collect food and then find ways to use it. But I just like the program. You know, full disclosure, my wife Sharon volunteers up there a couple days a week, and I've known Mary Beth Roberti for 25 years or more. But I like the program because you're helping so many different in so many different directions. And so I know there's a fundraiser coming up next week. It's October 11th, 6:30 to 9. It's at Bernie's Book Bank in Lake Bluff, which is a really cool spot. It's going to be emceed by my buddy Tom Waddle. So people can check it out there if they want to help out an organization that not only could use some help, but an organization that is doing a lot of help. Roberti Community House. .org. Clay, great. Thanks for the great work that you do. I appreciate it, and I look forward to talking again.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. Have a blessed day.
You too. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.